Welcome to the new neighborhood. We are excited to highlight innovative early childhood work taking place in communities across the country.
In each episode, we're talking to people who are building a new sense of community, supporting young children and their families, and focusing on equity right from the start to create a generation where all children and their families thrive. I'm Kaylin O'Connor.
And I'm Sana Sharif, and we are your hosts for the new neighborhood. Welcome, Daphne and Tina. I've had the pleasure of working with both of you in early childhood advocacy and policy changing spaces. I would love to hear from both of you about who you are and what you do. Can we start with you, Tina?
Yes, my name is Tina Sherman, and I am the Senior Campaign Director for Maternal Justice at Moms Rising. We are a national, online, and on-the-ground grassroots organization of more than a million members across the country. And we focus on policies to help mothers and parents and families thrive. I am a mom of four amazing children, soon to be 18-year-old, twin 14-year-olds, and an 8-year-old. And I am based in North Carolina.
I'm Daphne Alciel. I say that I'm first and foremost the mom of three little ones. I have a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 1-year-old who keep me very closely connected to the world of early childhood. And then in my spare time, or when they allow me to do so, I work as the Family Support Manager at the North Carolina Partnership for Children, which is the umbrella organization for the Smart Start Network in North Carolina. And the Smart Start Network is the early childhood system, which is made up of 75 nonprofit organizations that support early childhood in North Carolina. I'm excited to be here with you all today.
We're happy to have you here. I'm excited for this conversation. So Daphne, I think we want to start with you and sharing your story of how you got into this work as a parent advocate and in your professional role and how they intersect.
I first started working at a local Smart Start partnership in 2014 in Rockingham County, which is a smaller county in North Carolina. And I attended our statewide Smart Start conference, where I attended a session that was led by a Moms Rising staff member. And they were talking about the power of storytelling and policy change. And I got all kinds of excited, all in my feelings about just how important storytelling was in making sure that it was connected to the data that we often hear is important, but that the lived experiences were really being highlighted and shared as we were advocating for change, especially in early childhood. And then a couple of years later, I became a parent and I realized just how important that actually was. And so I followed Moms Rising pretty closely. I got involved as a North Carolina steering committee member. I attended a few advocacy events, kind of stayed on the periphery a little bit. And then 2020 happened. And my family moved and the childcare crisis hit us a little bit hard, really hard. We were in the middle of trying to find childcare for our infant, our baby girl. And I called Beth Messersmith, who's the North Carolina campaign director. I knew that, you know, she had connections that maybe I didn't have. And so I told her, I just said, I need childcare and I need it like yesterday. Can you just please send me any kind of connections that you have? And by the way, if you ever need anyone to tell their story and to advocate for change, I am your person. You just let me know. And she sent back, she said, okay, here's a few numbers you can call. And actually, a representative just asked if we have a parent who can come and speak at the General Assembly for a press conference in a couple of days. Are you up for it? I was like, yes, I'm there. I am so there. You just let me know what time and all the things. And then I was like, but wait, I'm not actually ready to tell my story. Can you get your staff to call me and like help me write my story out a little bit? And so they did. She met me at the General Assembly. She supported me in the process. And I think as I was telling my story, you know, you have all the cameras in your face, all the news outlets there asking you all the questions. And it wasn't until after I stepped away and I looked at my phone and I was getting all of the messages from friends and colleagues across the state saying, I'm so glad that you told your story. We're going through the exact same thing. And I couldn't be there to do this or to tell my story, but you represented me in that moment. And you were there when we couldn't be. Thank you. Like, thank you for lending your voice to this cause. Like, you were representing us in that moment. I knew, like, the power of storytelling and of advocacy from, you know, helping families and trying to support them and doing it. But it wasn't until that moment of doing it myself that I was like, oh my goodness, this power of, like, actually doing this is amazing. And we've really got to, like, support family leaders and leaning into that. And at the same time, professionally, I was working alongside Moms Rising and doing that as well. So yeah, exciting to see all of those worlds colliding.
Thank you for sharing your story. It is profound and it is very touching. That's my perspective. Tina, can you tell us about how you came to this role at Moms Rising?
Yeah, thank you. Definitely, all I can think is your story is just beautiful. And while different, similar to how I came to this work. So as I stated at the beginning, I'm a mom of four. After my birth of my first son, I looked into becoming a birth doula because while I had an amazing birth and an amazing support system with my oldest, I had Does this happen with everyone or your friends? Like, everyone gets pregnant around the same time. So I had several friends who were pregnant around the same time. And all of us had such vastly different experiences. One who had the birth that we all dream of. She went into labor in the morning. She's a psychologist. She went to work all day, was seeing clients, came home, had dinner, and was like, oh, I think I should go to the hospital, and popped out a baby 3 hours later. She had an amazing first birth. And then for her second child, who was due around July 4th, she went and talked to her doctor about inducing. And I was like, whoa, wait a second. You had the birth that we all dream of. I don't think you want to mess with success. And so she did a little research and decided not to be induced and then fired her healthcare provider because her healthcare provider had not shared with her the risks involved. And then I had another friend who had just lost her job, also pregnant with twins. I don't collect twin parents, by the way, but also pregnant with twins. She had just lost her job, and so she was on Medicaid coverage. She delivered at the same hospital I did. I am a Black woman. She was also a Black woman. And her partner with the hospital, and she was treated completely different than I was. Same hospital, similar nursing staff, but she was a Black woman on Medicaid coverage with, you know, what only the assumption in the room was, unmarried with a, quote, baby daddy in the room. And her treatment versus mine with private insurance and a white husband was vastly different. These three experiences, my own and my two friends, were the reasons why I said, I need to know more. I need to understand. There's something missing if all of these amazing women around me don't understand what it means to be what they need to have the birth that they want. Little did I know what doors that would open because I started my doula training. At this point, I've attended over 70 births and feel quite honored to be invited into that space to be able to do that. But prior to having my first child, I was very involved in public policy. I've worked for congressmen and their local offices. I've worked on Capitol Hill. I've worked with a variety of advocacy organizations. And shortly after the birth of my first son, got connected with Moms Rising. Several years later, Moms Rising had an opening for a position that really was about supporting women and birthing families as it particularly relates to maternal health. And I was like, whoa, did I just win the jackpot? I feel like this job description is written for me. It was not. But I do feel like I hit the jackpot because I understand from both a provider perspective, at least a birth doula provider perspective, and then in my experiences in working with other birth workers and lactation professionals. But I also have this, you know, academic history of political science and policy. So I like to say that I'm a birth doula by heart and a policy wonk by training. And my position at Moms Rising lets me do both of those.
So do you want to talk a little bit about your work with the Early Well Coalition?
Yes. So Moms Rising does all of our work in partnership and in coalition. So whether that is at the state level here in North Carolina or at the federal level, we work with a wide range of partners to further policies that are going to support families. And so Moms Rising is working with the Early Well Coalition, which is a wide range of stakeholders from across North Carolina, on several policy priority areas, focusing on strengthening the mental health for infants, toddlers, and young children and families across the state. And so a handful of our policy priorities are, in no particular order, although I will start with my favorite, is ensuring doula care for families, ensuring doula coverage for families. We also cover group prenatal care, as well as family supports in navigating disability. Reach Out and Read is another one of the Early Well initiatives. And again, it's all focusing on strengthening the mental health supports for infants, toddlers, and young children across North Carolina.
Beautiful. So Daphne, Sanaa first told me about the work that you all are doing because of the Starting Strong toolkit and training. So can you tell us about that and how it came to be?
Sure. So at the North Carolina Partnership for Children, we engaged in some work through a federal preschool development grant opportunity to really ensure that family voice was centered in the work of early childhood. So with a focus on family engagement and leadership. And just like Tina mentioned, a lot of the work with Moms Rising, or all of the work of Moms Rising, really is in a coalition and collaboration with community partners. And so we were lucky to partner with Moms Rising on the work of the Starting Strong materials, knowing that Moms Rising really is a leader in family engagement and leadership. So we partnered with them to create some tools and resources for the 75 local Smart Start partnerships on how to do family engagement and leadership well. So what does it look like to plan to bring family leaders to decision-making tables? And what are some things that organizations need to keep in mind as they are bringing family leaders to the table? Who are the family leaders that they need to consider when deciding who to bring to the table? Maybe not just, you know, the ones who are typically brought to the table, but those who have been historically left out of conversations. What are some things to consider in terms of compensation for family leaders as they are lending their expertise in the space? Addressing barriers to engagement, transportation, childcare, things like that that need to be considered. Basically, anything you can think of related to family engagement leadership, there's tools and resources that were co-created with Moms Rising on our website for local Smart Start partnerships and for the broader public to use as well. And we also have a training of trainers that can be taken into local communities to be used also. So we're really excited about all of that that is available for communities to use.
And I'll add, you know, we were so excited to partner with Daphne on Starting Strong tools. And Moms Rising's really core tenets is that parents' voices are critical to ensuring that policies reflect the needs of families. And so we really want to meet parents where they are, give them the tools that they need, and let them share their stories, because that is what policymakers need to hear from. And I'm gonna give just one slight example, if I can. I don't know if you all know this, but one in four mothers return to work within 10 days of giving birth. I want to say that one more time because it's shocking every time I say it. One in four mothers return to work within 10 days of giving birth. So what does that look like for families? And what does that look like when we are trying to create a space where mothers and babies and families can thrive? Well, first of all, I don't know about, you know, any of you on the podcast today or folks that are listening, but 10 days after giving birth, I was nowhere near ready to be standing in a room with other folks. I was still wearing those mesh panties that they give you and, you know, out of labor and delivery, but I was nowhere near ready. But when we look at who is representing us in Congress, and if you look at who is representing you at your state houses, they don't look like us that are here in this room. And so they don't know. They don't understand. What does it mean? I'm sure all of you listening who've given birth know exactly what I was talking about with those mesh panties. They don't know. And that's not their fault, right? They don't know. They don't know what they don't know. And so really the importance of families going and talking to lawmakers about what their experience is so critical. And we know it's daunting. That's kind of scary. We want you to share. You want you to take those intimate moments that are happening inside of your home and share it with a stranger. And so that's one of the reasons why building the tools that are necessary and educating around all of those pieces of government, that's really important just to understand, you know, who are the players and what they do. But really it is the sharing the story because they don't know what they don't know. And they can't advocate for us. They can't advocate on our behalf and help ensure that we have what we need unless they know what we're experiencing. And so that is really one of the core beliefs at Moms Rising that we really try to do, is ensure that we are empowering our families to speak up in whatever capacity they feel like it. Daphne down at the legislature, at the state legislature, is amazing. But like she said, we were like, we can help you write your story. You know, we can, they give you 3 minutes to do it in, right? Getting all of that information down concise into 3 minutes is really hard. But the importance for the elected leaders that are there making the decision, and Daphne, like you said, the importance of our friends, our peers, our neighbors who are watching the news, knowing that you're reflecting them, it's so critical.
Yeah, and I think for us, the North Carolina Partnership for Children and the Smart Start Network, like, we know when families are telling their stories and are a part of decision-making that outcomes are more positive. When families are a part of, you know, planning what programs are offered, then those programs are more effective. They're going to have more positive outcomes at the local level as well. So not even just at the policy level, but even on the local level as well. I think oftentimes there is this emphasis from agencies and organizations to help make sure that families are ready to get to decision making tables, and that is important.
First of all, I can't imagine going back to work a week later. 5 weeks was hard for me. I was still trying to physiologically recover, let alone, you know, adjust to the routine of a newborn baby, right? So I could not even imagine. So I just want to insert, thank you for all you do. And Daphne, you did talk about families being involved. And I think that family voice is extremely important. So just to pivot quickly back to the training of trainers that you were telling us about, can you tell us a little bit about the Spanish manual and how that came?
Yes. So we decided from the very beginning of developing the resources that we didn't want to just, you know, translate the materials. We didn't want to just have, you know, the English version and then it to just be translated. We really wanted to have two separate curricula that were tailored and focused on those who speak English and those who speak Spanish. And so that was the approach that we took with all of the resources and materials. from the very beginning all the way through to the training of trainers. And so they are not up on our website yet, but they are coming soon. They will be there soon. We are very excited about that. That was a very intentional approach that we took through all of it. And we're proud of that for sure.
Well, thank you both so much. I can tell we are all on the same page and doing parallel work. And I love what you're doing in North Carolina and what Moms Rising is doing nationally. So before we wrap up the podcast, in the past, we've asked all our guests what they think the secret sauce is to making a community a great place to raise a child. And this season, we're asking about the secret sauce or special ingredient. So I'd like to ask each of you what you think that is. Tina, do you want to go first?
Sure. I think empathetic and intentional leadership.
Ooh, I like that.
With both of those, I see nothing but a welcoming and inviting communal space. So empathetic and intentional leadership.
I think this goes hand in hand with what Tina said, but in the spirit of the conversation, I would say listening to the people who are most directly impacted by the decisions that are being made, and maybe more directly, like letting those people be the ones who are making the decisions.
Love that.
Shifting power.
Thank you for listening to The New Neighborhood. Be sure to check the show notes for links and additional information about some of the things we talked about today. If you want to add anything that's going on in your community, or if you have any additions to today's episode, please do share them on the New Neighborhood Hub. And please join us next time for more insights into how communities are coming together to create new neighborhoods and support early learning and development. This limited series podcast is a production of the Center for the Study of Social Policy. For more information or to contact us, visit us online at www.csst.org.